It's wonderful. I love the flavor. It's savory flavor of 91 counts. I'm telling you, they cooking it up in the kitchen down in Fulton County. My hat's off to the chef. Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it, cause it's your business. Your business, business. Handle all of your business. Value all of your business.
What's up? What's up? Welcome in, good people. Welcome into Montgomery & Company. I'm Renee Montgomery. Listen, Linda, we're in the thick of it in the WNBA. If you're following along, you know that we are down to the stretch where the playoff push is happening. If you're not following along, get with it. What you doing? So it's the playoff push, and I'm going to break down all my thoughts on what's going on with each team. And because it's the playoff push, we thought we'd give you a little bit more dream than we normally do. We have our rookie, South Carolina Gamecocks, Leticia Ami here coming on to talk to me. And we also have our head coach, Tanisha Wright. Now, listen, it's not easy right now. It's a tough time, which is why I talked to them before the season in Media Day. We're also going to talk trending topics with the crew. Let's go! It's that time of the year where everybody's jockeying for a position. It doesn't matter if you're the number one team or the team fighting to be in the playoffs. Everybody is fighting for something right now in the WNBA with less than 10 games to go from every single team. Some teams even have only 4 games, like the Las Vegas Aces. And so I'm about to break down just what's going on to date in the playoff race and where everybody's standing. So recently, in the past 7 days, the number 1 and 2 team, which is the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty, they played each other 2 to 3 times, counting the Commissioner's Cup. And it's been a knockdown, drag out, get your popcorn, everything you could have asked for in a number 1 versus 2 matchup. Again, it's giving me all the Los Angeles Sparks versus Minnesota Lynx feels. And I was a part of that. And it's given me those feels in a sense of, I really have no idea who's going to win from game to game. I have no idea what star is going to shine from night to night. It's that type of thing. And it's beautiful to watch. So those are the number 1 and 2 teams. And so what are they fighting for? That number 1 spot, of course. The Vegas Aces are 2.5 games above right now, but it's a fight to the finish, because what does that number 1 spot do? Well, it determines who you play. Number 1 plays number 8, number 2 plays 7, and so on and so forth. So, and then there's always the bragging rights of, you know, the number 1 spot. That's the thing. People want to be that. So that's what's happening at the top of the race. And then as I'm filming this right now, it's Tuesday. And on Tuesday, the Atlanta Dream, my squad, we play Phoenix tonight. Minnesota plays Washington, and then Chicago plays LA. So those 3 games are happening on Tuesday night. No games on Wednesday. And so basically what I'm saying now, take into account that those 3 games are happening tonight, but then all of the rest applies in a sense of on any given night. So now let's talk about the rest. There's the number 3 team in the Connecticut Sun. They're really the only team that's kind of just sitting in a little place where no one's really affected either way. The Connecticut Sun right now are sitting at 24-11, and they're not close enough really to catch the team ahead of them. They're 4 games behind New York, and then Dallas is 5 games behind them. They're pretty much the only team that's kind of in this space where they're chilling. They're going to be competing, but they're not necessarily fighting it out for some type of positioning. But then, boy, oh boy, when you go through number 4 through number 8, okay? So number 4 through number 8, we have Dallas sitting at number 4, Minnesota number 5, 6 is Washington, 7 ATL, and then we have LA at number 8. Now, all of those teams on any given night, of course, can beat each other. I don't even know how you would rank these teams, but I would say that Dallas has really shown that they want to be separated from the middle of the pack. Dallas has knocked down every top team, including Vegas, New York, Connecticut. They beat all of the top teams. So they've proven that they can not only compete on a night in and night out basis, but they can also go toe to toe with that top dog. So we see that Dallas, they've kind of put themselves at the top of that middle pack in a sense of, we know that they're capable of anything. Like if I was Vegas, or if I was New York, or if I was Connecticut, I don't want to see Dallas until the finals, if that is the case. And that's not to say that Dallas is better than New York or Connecticut. I'm just saying they're a number four seed that you are not excited about playing. And then when you go down to the rest of the list, Minnesota. So when you look at the Minnesota team led by Coach Cheryl Reeve, the reason I say that is because a lot of energy at the beginning of the season was that it's pretty much a rebuild season for Minnesota. You have Nafisha Collier, who just had a beautiful bundle, baby of joy, and that you didn't know how well she was going to play. Well, boy, oh boy, did we find out real quick that she was ready to roll. And just the team, how they played, you can only say that they overachieved in a sense of, I don't think anyone had Minnesota pegged to be the number five team right now today, heading into a playoff push with the last 10 games of the season. I just don't know if people would have said that. And then when you go on to DC, DC is an interesting case because right now they're sitting at number six, but they're that number six that they're really not a number six. We know that they have had injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries. And to even be number six right now is kind of saying a lot about the players that they have playing. Shout out to Brittany Sykes, who has led the league in steals, has done that 2 years in a row. She wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. And I love when people say things like, I want to be Defensive Player of the Year, but then they go out and do a Defensive of the Year type of performance. Now, that's not to say that she's going to get it, but she certainly, most definitely should be in the conversation. And then you have Natasha Cloud, who's been playing great, and those two have led them. But then you look at all their injuries, Elena Deladon, Shakir Austin, Ariel Atkins. That's some firepower, a lot of firepower that you don't have available. So for the Washington team to be sitting at number six right now as we head in this playoff push, again, excellent, scary, because at a certain point, they're going to get healthier and healthier and healthier. And then that's a team that, again, you don't really want to see, but you're going to start to see a theme that you don't really want to see any of these teams. Like, that's kind of the point. They say this is one of the hardest leagues in the world to make, 144. This is where it shows. Then you move on to the number seven team. And the number seven team is the Atlanta Dream. And it's so crazy because we were sitting high, baby. We were sitting high, feeling good. We was on win streak, 6-game win streak. Yeah, baby, let's go. You know, like, just that's the ebb and flow of a season. You know, they say it's a game of runs. Well, honestly, it's a season of runs when you think about it in a sense of, like, you are going to have win streaks and then you might have some lose streaks as well. And so right now for us, you know, in the last 10 games, we're 2-8. In the last 10 games, there was a point in the season when in a 10-game snapshot, we were 8-2. So kind of the same song as everyone else. It's unfortunate that we got hit with the injury bug at a certain time. Ryan gets hit in her nose, and now she's in a mask, missed a couple games. And then Nia Coffey hurts her hand, out for 6 to 8 weeks. And you know, I personally, I've said this on Twitter. If you follow me, I tweet during our games. A lot of times if our games are away, at home, I'm in the game, honey. At home, I'm sitting, talking to the players. I'm in the game. But when our team plays away, a lot of times I'm putting my thoughts on Twitter. And I said that I think Nia Coffey is our X factor. And so for people that don't necessarily know what an X factor is, your X factor is that player that just makes everything work better. Your X factor is that player that everyone on the team knows how valuable they are. Everyone on the team knows that they need them. Everyone on the team, we just know that that's that player that we couldn't be as good as we are without that person. They're the glue person. They keep everything together. Nia Coffey, to me, is that person. And so when we found out that, you know, she had a hand injury that's likely a season-ending injury, that I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, like that was that one, like, you know, to me where she does so much. You know, I was just talking to Juju and he was saying like, she will send shots out of bounds. She cleans up our mistakes. There's a lot of things that you don't notice that she does that if you know, kind of situation. So we lost her. And then Big Al, Alicia Gray, she ended up rolling her ankle, had to miss a few games as well. So when you start to look at that, Nia Coffey, starter, glue player, Ryan Howard, you know, y'all know our all-star, Alicia Gray, our other all-star. we got those injuries back to back to back. And again, this is no different than any other teams. LA is probably saying like, yeah, yeah, we hear you. But I'm going to get to LA next. But it's just tough when those injuries happen at the end of the year because everybody's making that playoff push. We know that every single game matters. And so here we are at number seven, fighting it out because, you know, this is the most, you know, it's not the most wonderful time of the year because that is Christmas, but boy, is it close. Okay. So that's my squad, the Atlanta Dream. We're sitting at number seven. We're fighting it out, baby. And I'm pulling for us. But, you know, this is an exciting time. And then at number eight, that's the LA Sparks. And speaking of injuries, there has been no team this season that can talk about injuries more than the Sparks have. I mean, even starting with Lexi Brown, who she's working day to day to get back on the court, she's battled injuries. Leja Clarendon has battled injuries. Shanaya Gumake has battled injuries. I believe NECA got hurt at a certain point. I mean, they've had injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries. And yet and still, the LA Sparks right now have a 15-19 record. This is on Tuesday, a 15-19 record. And they're sitting at the last spot. So it's, you just never know. And every team goes through this. That's why they always say to win a championship, it takes a little bit of luck because every team has to stay healthy, has to have certain things go right. And it's at that point, it's at this point in the season where, you know, it's a knockdown, drag out any given night. So I just wanted to keep y'all up to date on what's going on in the WNBA. Like I mentioned, it's a 3.5 game difference from the number four team to the number eight team, which is the last person that's going to make it into the playoffs. So tap in with us, man. Y'all better be pulling for the Dream. I'm turned up. And we're going to talk a little bit. Look, y'all have heard about all of our players. Y'all got to get into their minds. Y'all got to get into their thought processes. Y'all got to hear our coach. You know, our coach is actually, you're going to hear our coach talk. But right now, I want y'all to listen to one of our rookies, big time fan favorite. Anytime we had the South Carolina fans in the building, they're always like one LA in the game. So we have our rookie for the Atlanta Dream, Leticia Amihier. Let's go.
What level would you say does it bother you if people say your name wrong? Because it's like,
it actually doesn't because, good. You know, hard to pronounce
okay.
Sometimes.
I like that because I'm just like, we're going to work on it. I'm teaching everybody like as we go. I'm trying to make sure we say it and pronunciate it right. But welcome to the Dream.
Thank
welcome
you.
To Atlanta, man. How has the city been treating you so far? How has training camp been?
I love the city, man. It's not too far from South Carolina, so I'm used to, you know, coming around here a few times.
I mean, okay, so you got the fams. That's what AG was telling me. That's what the people call Alicia Gray, a bucket getter.
Yeah.
Okay.
She is.
Okay.
Sure.
She said, like, because when she went back, Don had said that people was giving her buckets when she went back. So I had, I had to just
listen. That's my team. I'm gonna ride for her. That she a bucket getter.
Boom. Okay. So what was it like playing for a team like South Carolina, where the fan base is booming, and now you're coming to the WNBA, where basically they're following you. People tweeting me, girl. Okay, they follow you here.
It's so much fun. Like we call them the fams because they're family. They're great, you know, packed up arena every game. Just that atmosphere, just being able to feel supported, you know, coming from Canada, having a home away from home, just the fans, the culture, everything's just been great.
And you said coming from Canada, we just had our Toronto game. And so what was that like? Because I don't, no one was surprised on the women's basketball side. It sold out, okay?
Yeah.
And so, like,
in
what
20
is,
minutes.
In 20
in
minutes.
20 minutes.
The preseason game of, what, 17,000 people, I believe, sold out. So, like, Canada basketball is a thing.
Yes, it is. They're so excited. I mean, just the atmosphere of being able to, you know, I was seeing a lot of young women, you know, tweeting at me, sending me pictures of them wearing their jerseys and finally being able to see, you know, professional basketball because, we love the Raptors, you know, go Raptors, but we need some role models that look like us. So just being able to see that has just been amazing.
It's crazy because you're going to be that role model for like a whole country, which is crazy. But like you are, I don't think people even know how athletic you are, or everything you can do. Like when we, like, I feel like you were steel, like we were so hyped. But like, when was the first time you dunked? I'm just curious because I've never done it. I want to ask questions like, what is it like up there? Like you've been there. What's
The first time was in eighth grade. That's when I started. I was very long.
Wow, underachiever. Eighth grade.
I was in eighth grade. That's when I first started dunking. Just watching my brothers do it. And then I was like, I want to do that. So after practice, I would just try. And then people would gather around. I'm like, these people are excited to watch this.
Yes, so they're all excited to watch this. That's what you mean. Because I was talking to our coaches about you, of course. This is why I'll be at practice. I know you see me. I'm at practice pulling up. But, like, coaches want to get to the point where they think you can just dunk on a regular basis. It's not even this is a great scenario.
Right.
So how do you feel about that? Because I know they're pushing you towards, like, try to dunk everything when you're tired. Like, what? Like, this is new for the women's game. So I want to, like, pick your brain on, you're almost learning how to train yourself to dunk all the time.
It's dope. I mean, obviously, as a woman, you don't get taught that. You know, for guys, like, as soon as they start picking up basketballs, like, we're not doing layups. So you got to touch the rim. We're not taught that as girls. So just seeing the coaches being like, oh, yeah, dunk it. Like, I'm like, all right, let's go. So I like that. I think it's just good.
Okay, have you planned your celebration for when you dunk in the WNBA? Because I have. Okay. Have you planned yours?
I haven't, but we'll see. Whatever's natural.
Because I'm going to be telling everybody, watch your head. It's something we see in the men's game all the time. Yeah. But, like, I'm so excited for you're a new age athlete in a sense of, like, I didn't have to worry about getting dunked on.
Okay? Like,
I'm glad I didn't have to worry about it. But as you develop your game and other things, like, what areas do you want your game to develop and grow in?
Just being a three-level scorer. With my athleticism, I can get to the rim, but just being able to kind of find the in-between when people are starting to scout me.
I love that. And what's the transition been like? I mean, you played at the highest level for the Gamecocks, but we've heard a lot of rookies say, like, there's a real jump. Mm-hmm. So what differences have you just noticed so far from college now to pro?
I think the lifestyle is a little bit different, with training camp. But I feel like for the most part, you know, I've been prepared in a really great way with Coach Daly. You know, obviously she's been a pro. She played the level. And obviously she's coached at that level as well. So she's prepared us greatly for this moment.
Definitely. Shouts to Coach Daly. She's going to be pulling up this summer. She already let us know. Welcome to the A, man. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you.
And just so people know, it really is not easy being a rookie in any pro sports league. But when it comes to the WNBA, we have such a quick turnaround from the NCAA tournament to WNBA training camp to your first game of the season that it's extremely difficult for rookies. So always, always, always give grace when you can. And also, speaking of giving grace, we have our head coach, Tanisha Wright, coming up, and I got to speak to her during media day as well. And I think sometimes people forget that Tanisha is only in her second year as a head coach, her second year here with the Atlanta Dream. So when we talk about players being young and giving grace, let's do the same for coaches. I don't know, crazy concept, but got to talk to my homie. What up, T? Let's get it.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
First of all, going into the season, this is year what with you two?
This will be year two with the Dream, but year four in terms of coaching.
Right. And so, like, what's different from year to year that you build on? Or is it the same philosophy, just implementing it every year?
Yeah, it's the same philosophy for sure. But trying to continue to build, right? Not trying to stay the same. Always trying to grow. Our thing is trying to get 1% better every single opportunity that we have to do that.
Gotcha.
But same philosophies.
And when you add a new coach like VJ, like, I mean, every time I see her, I say, what up, legend? Yeah. Because for players like us, we know who she is to the game. But
I mean,
like,
I wish they all would know.
I know because I say legend.
Exactly. Why don't they all know? No, having V is great. Like, I had V my first year as a coach. In the bubble. Uh-huh. And that was just like, it was such a great experience, you know what I mean? To be with somebody who had already been coaching in the league and to start passing it down on me. And then the very next year, she gets the Dallas job. And then the very next year, I get this job. You know what I mean? So that it's pretty cool having her and just all the experience that VJ has playing as well as coaching.
It's crazy. You know? And when I talked to her, she was like, I was done with basketball. Like, you brought her back to basketball. Yeah. Like, because people don't understand, we have a love for the game, and when you feel like the game doesn't love you back, you might leave. And so she was like, you brought her back.
Yeah. I mean, I had a really good relationship with VJ. And I think sometimes when you're just in situations that aren't uplifting for you or the best situation, you just need a refresh. You need a restart. And I think we have the perfect crew. We have the perfect organization for her to just come in here. We're going to work because VJ's a worker.
Facts.
Like, I know that. We did the bubble together, so I know she's a worker. Uh-huh. Right? So she's going to work her behind off. But also being able to enjoy that, you know what I mean? Have fun every single day with this. Like, all right, I know I got to work hard, but can I come every day? Can I show up and still enjoy it and have a love for it? And so I think we just provided that, a freshness and a newness that that she can still have fun.
Yeah.
Because regardless, like, we just did the game yesterday. They were crap. Uh-huh. I was not happy about it. But I'm not walking in here.
Sour.
No, like, I've seen Leash. I'm like, what up, Leash? And she's just, like, smiling. I'm like, yeah, this is how we're going to be all the time. Win, lose, or draw. Like, we still going to be the same people. You know what I mean? I'm not going to treat you any different than just because we win and lose. Like, that's a game. Like, this is life. This is who we are as people.
So how do you coach? Yeah, like, you made a good point because you got younger players who are working on confidence and older players. So, like, how do you coach these rookies right now?
Yeah, just it's a good balance of bringing their expectations and their standards up because it's different, right? They're coming from college. We're in the dub, so the pace is different. A lot of shit is just
different.
They told
me the physicality. Every rookie said.
Exactly, right? The physicality is different. Like, oh, you can do that? You know what I mean? Yeah, so you better start doing it back. You know what I'm saying?
If they yell me, you better tell
you better start doing it back. So getting them to understand, one, that, two, that they have to play at that level every single possession. You cannot take possessions off here. You take a possession off here, you get your head bopped. You know what I'm saying? Right, you to the rim, you this, you get embarrassed some way, somehow. So just getting them to understand that, but also continuing to tell them, like, it's a learning curve.
Facts.
Like, you know, showing them that it's okay, we're gonna get better at it, but trust that I'm telling you the right thing. So that's one of the big things.
Yeah. Okay, so last thing, I've been asking everybody about their profession for somebody that's starting their profession.
Yeah.
So now you're year four, but year two as a head coach. What would you tell a new coach that's already been had an experience as an assistant coach, but they're taking the reins for a head coach? Like, what would you tell them starting out?
I think you have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that's first and foremost. Know yourself in terms of, like, how you see the game and how you want the game to be played according to you. I think that, and then never stop learning. Mm. I think that's huge. Like, just because you're in this position, you still have so much to learn. My biggest thing is I never wanted to be afraid to hire people that had more experience than me.
Okay, you know what? People don't want them to take their job, basically.
Exactly. People are afraid of that. You know what I mean? But I've just never been that type. I honestly feel like, and I live by this in my life, what's for me is for me.
Yeah.
And nobody can take it. So because of that, like, I want the best of the best around me.
Facts.
You know, period. Like, okay, you really good? Come on.
I love that.
You want this? Come on. Like, that's why I'm not afraid to hire somebody like VJ. You know what I'm saying?
She's a legend. Because, I mean, a head coach, a legend.
Exactly.
Paul is a head coach, too, in Australia.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've always been the person that, like, I want the best of the best. Don't be afraid to hire people that know more than you and continue to learn. Like, you need those. You know what I mean? They have the experience that you don't have. You know, you just have to stand. That's why I said you got to know yourself and you got to stand by what you know and your gut and all those things. You're there for a reason. Okay. So that would be mine.
Bet. All right. Last thing I asked the players, what's your saying that you say a lot? So I'm going to ask you. So
oh,
I
you asked them what I said?
I asked them.
It depends on who you ask. Okay.
So I asked them, so what's your favorite sayings? I'm going to ask you so you can tell me.
Dang.
But
how you do anything is how you do everything. That's one of the big ones. And then I always tell them, nobody cares. Did they say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. They said
Nobody
more
cares.
Too. They said something like, you say pace a lot. So
oh,
said,
yeah, yeah. pace. That's probably it too.
Yeah.
But those are probably, like, I do talk to them a lot about their pace, but in terms of just like sayings,
yeah,
like, it's definitely how you do anything is how you do everything. Uh-huh. And it's definitely, nobody cares.
And just for regular people, I always say, y'all are, like, I call non-athletes regular people, but what does that mean to people?
Like, nobody cares?
Yes.
Like, they don't care that you're tired. They don't care that you feeling this and feeling that. Like,
they didn't care I was 5'6".
Yes. Nobody cares that you're 5'6". Oh, your foot is hurt, your ankle's hurt. They don't care.
Yes.
Like, you still got to push through, and if not, tell me. You can come sit next
to
me.
Have a seat.
Like, if you worried about them caring, like, come sit next to me. I just think it's like, you can't feel sorry for yourself.
Facts.
All right?
You not can't in sports. Feel,
not in sports. Definitely not in the dub, because the minute you're feeling sorry for yourself, somebody going to take your job.
Facts.
Period.
Man, listen,
period.
Coach wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah, I know.
And I appreciate
you. I pulled through. This
is your
guy.
I appreciate you.
Your guy got your back.
Nobody cares. Bye.
Nobody cares. Exactly.
Bye. Thanks,
Bye.
Coach.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, as I mentioned, a head coach has so many things that they have to think about. There's a lot going on. So, yeah, let's give grace, because even hearing her talk, man, you can just tell that she thinks about her players. She cares about her players. She cares about what's going on. You know that she was a player, so she cares about the WNBA as a whole. So I love having Tanisha as our head coach. Shouts to Coach T. And now the group, man, we're going to talk about just headlines going on, trending topics, because there's a lot going on, and we're going to discuss. So, crew, there's a lot going on in the world. So let's get down on some trending topics for the week. And we're going to start with, obviously, the one that has taken up a lot of the news cycle. It's the Trump trials. And honestly, when you talk about Georgia, Fulton County, I'm telling you what, Fulton County, I saw a tweet that basically said Fulton County top 10 mugshots. And I don't know if that's a list you wanted to be on, but Fulton County has had a big, large list of who's who get mugshots there. And now it includes the 45th president of the United States, who is Donald Trump. President Trump has raised more than $7.1 million after his arrest and mugshot in Fulton County. He raised $4.1 million on Friday alone, the single highest 24-hour period of his campaign to date. So a lot of people are saying that he's going to be basically campaigning from the stairs of the courthouse throughout this
alive
whole thing. For life, Snook says. So we're going to go around the horn a little round robin style, because there's a lot of headliners happening. So thoughts, crew, Snook, you already had something to say. So let's get it started. Let's get it popping with Snook Abuka. What are your thoughts on the Trump trials?
We already knew and surmised, I guess. We have surmised a lot from the information that we've obtained from the media and from different other, you know, social media things. But what gets me with this Trump trial thing, it's like reality TV, like that Daily Show. I tell the girls this all the time, like every day it's something. It's like, I'm trying to find this song, drip, drip, drip. Every day there's a new drip. So there's something you need to watch to put to the other.
Drip,
and like I said,
drip,
it's just like reality
drip.
TV.
Every day there's a drip, drip, drip. Every day we got a drip, drip.
Yep. That's the way it is. And so you have to stay tuned in every day. If you miss a day, you done missed a crime that he's done committed. So anyway.
So, I mean, we know that there's 91 felony. What is it? 91 counts that's happening right now. So to that point, there's a lot to keep up with. And we don't even really, I don't even really like to talk politics in general.
No,
on the podcast.
You should never talk politics at work.
Exactly. But there's also,
but this is historical what's happening, you know, like this is literally historical what's happening. We haven't really, has there ever been a president that has been indicted for something? This is the first time this has happened, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think this is the first time. I mean, it's to me, like, I don't know. Snook?
I could just imagine that the prisoners over there in Fulton County Jail were in awe. Say, that's a bad dude. He got 91 counts. Look at that. That's a bad dude.
Well, first of all, I know they're not thinking that's a bad dude. But with the types of crimes that he's committed, everyone's talking about how terrified that 45 seems to be, but I don't know. And Roy has something. Roy?
No. Let's stop referring to him as 45 and start referring to him as P01135809.
Oh. 809, yes.
That sounds like experiment 626 or something. Like, you don't even say his name, Voldemort.
Formerly 409.
Formerly known as 45. We will now, what is it, Roy?
P01135809. That's his booking number.
That part. All right. Because you know what? A lot of times when people leave prison or you get booked, it stays with you for life in the real life circumstances. So to Roy's point, that will be what people, had he not been president, that is now what follows you.
I wonder if he's got his tat yet.
Okay. You know what? Well, speaking of a tattoo, somebody in Las Vegas had Trump's mugshot tattooed on his thigh.
It's almost like can he do no wrong? How does he raise more money than he ever did? That is crazy. Also, just how firm, like, I don't know if you guys saw the remarks after that he was making to the reporters. He still stands so firm on, like, well, that's what I believe. I believe that the election was tampered with and all this stuff. I was like, wow, like, he really actually believes what's coming out of his mouth. That's mind blowing to me.
He almost has you drinking the Kool-Aid, Sam.
No, not me.
He believes that.
I'll tell you right now, there is no Kool-Aid over here, okay? Listen, Paul just dropped in the chat real quick that Ulysses S. Grant was the first president arrested.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I feel.
Cole is clapping. If you can't see, she's doing chef's
delicious.
Gifts.
It's wonderful. I love the flavor. It's savory flavor of 91 counts. It's just, I'm telling you, they cooking it up, whipping it up in the kitchen down in Fulton County. And all I got to say is my hat's off to the chef. Hats off to the chef.
And when we say the chefs, I think some chefs that we could be referring to, Jack Smith, I would consider him a chef.
Top chef.
Master, baby. Master chef.
Top chef. You know what I'm saying? We talk about top chefs. Mm-hmm. Jack Smith, I think you would have got that top chef crown. What's her name? Fanny? Who they trying to
Fonny.
Get rid of? Fonny. Mm-hmm. They trying to get rid of Fonny right now. She's mm-hmm. still going to keep her top chef hat. I don't care what they do because there's laws being passed. We understand what's going on. But shouts to Fonny because you still got that top chef in
the
you.
Memes that were going around that day that Trump was in the city, I loved them. They were like, Gotti, you know, the sneaker meme when you get the Nikes and it's like, got him. They were all over Butter ATL, all over. It was like, everybody knew that, okay, she did her thing, but you know, let's see how it unfolds.
Listen, the residents, you're right. The residents stood along. There was a road that you have to drive on to get to Rice Street. And there was it's a certain residential area. When I tell you the cameras were out, the community was out, there was twerking. I might have saw a barbecue happening. I can't call it. This is Atlanta. All right. So
well, I'm going to say this regardless of how, because everybody keeps on saying, well, arrest doesn't mean indictment. Well, I will just say however it works out, that man is still stamped with number, and that number is going to be for the rest of the days. Yep. His legacy and anything that has to do with history, that will be the biggest part of his history. And I know he doesn't want that, so I don't care if they what they do after this. The humiliation of having a bail bondsman and then not being able to go out of the country to go to a tournament because you are a criminal, you cannot flee the country, that right there just was, like I said, the flavor was just so rich. I love
what,
it so.
And Roy, what is that number again? What is that inmate number again? Just one more time before we move on to the next topic.
P01135809.
All right. And moving on now. So we're talking about, we had a little bit of politics. We don't normally do that on MoCo, but we had to hit it because it's such a historical news happening. Moving on to, I know a lot of people think that this is a myth. Maybe people think this is fake news, but if you have not been watching the news, I don't know what to tell you because everything's going on. We have storms, we have fires, we have floods, we have a little bit of everything right now. This is a climate change cocktail going on right now. I know a lot of people don't believe in climate change and all these things, but I'm just going to address then what's happening right now. The waves from Hurricane Idalia, I think I'm saying that right, has just hit record numbers on Fort Myers Beach. It's crazy right now. There's live updates from Cedar Key, Florida, where reports are that 98% of the residents have had to evacuate the island ahead of the hurricane. Even with a slight shift west in the forecast tracker, it's still a life-threatening 10 to 15 feet storm surge is anticipated. I'm just saying the facts right now. All right. So there's a lot going on when you think about Canada and all that, the fires that's carrying over to where we saw a smog take over New York, where our New York residents were like, man, you walk outside. There's a lot going on
in Hawaii, fires. Hawaii and Maryland. And Maryland had smog really, really bad, too. It was really bad.
I'm not even going to address the whole big topic of climate change because I don't want us to get caught in all of that. I'm going to just say Mother Nature's feeling some type of way and we can see it live. Thoughts, crew. Cole, like you said, Maryland, I didn't even know. But what's going on? Like, what's your thoughts?
If people don't believe, then don't believe. It's still happening. Like all these people are saying, oh, I don't believe this is real and this is happening and that this is going to happen. So I'm like, but it's happening. It's not climate change. We're past it's changing. It's changed. And that's why I was saying, like, I always scramble to get a coat. Last year, I think my son wore his coat, his big winter coat, like maybe once or twice because it just didn't. So I mean, I don't understand how people don't believe in climate change. All I say is you better believe in praying because you don't know what's coming from where. Floods are coming from everywhere, hurricanes. Then you get earthquakes in places there shouldn't be earthquakes. And, you know, since when is a fire actually came down as far as Maryland? I know we were every day on smog alert. They were canceling camps and stuff during the summer. So if you don't believe, y'all better pray.
Yeah. California had a hurricane watch the other day, too, right?
Yeah.
Do they even have hurricanes over there?
No. That's the crazy part. And then they had an earthquake on top of that.
Ooh, Jesus is mad.
It's crazy. And Roy, I had text our Slack. I hit up the Slack to just basically because, as y'all know, we're part of the Levitard Show family, and that's based in Florida, more particularly Miami. But anytime when I hear that, I was asking Roy, like, you know, what is it like down there in Florida? What's going on?
You know what? It actually seems like South Florida is getting spared from every single hurricane that's come down here for it's like crazy. The last 30 years. Like that, we haven't really had a big one since like, what, 2000 something. So like everything's going up a little bit further north. Everything's going through the middle of the state, but now it's coming from the west and it's about to hit Tallahassee, and Tallahassee hasn't been hit by a hurricane like ever.
See, that's what I'm saying. When we start saying ever, first time this is happening. Yeah.
Like record temperatures. Yep.
Yes.
First hurricane in Cali since 1939. This is like, thank you, Gino, for that. It's like, and when I say Gino, I have to always reference y'all, when I say Gino, I'm not talking about my UConn coach. I'm talking about a video editor on our team right now. Gino is here and he's on the ones and twos mixing behind the scenes. So if y'all hear me say, cut the clip, Gino, or thank you, Gino. I'm talking about Gino, my guy. So yeah, so Gino just wrote in our chat that this is the first hurricane in California since 1939. That's why we're saying we're talking to y'all about the facts. Roy just said Tallahassee hasn't gotten hit since ever. So these are the facts.
If you
lived a long time, which I have, and the older generation before me used to use the weather for signs for everything. And so, you know, for planting and for, you know, colds and all of that. And so I've noticed, because I have a little garden, I'm not a real big gardener or whatever, but, you know, the Farmer's Almanac was like a Bible to them because it would kind of predict what was going to be and when you should plant and all of that. Well, the Farmer's Almanac is having a hard time figuring Mother Nature out or whatever, because, you know, we used to look at signs like, you know, oh, there's a woolly worm. How big is that band on him? Because if it's a wide band, we're going to have a bad winter and all these signs and things. But the signs is all mixed up now. So it's very hard. And like I said, for the last 2 or 3 years, our weather has been so unpredictable. It's been hard for me to even garden because I can't get my stuff in at the right time. And then, you know, it's just all mixed up.
And when you say that, Snook, I know that you're talking about your gardening on a small scale because it's your personal garden. But what is she saying? When y'all go to the grocery store and prices are higher and there's a supply and demand problem, or there's the farmers poor Black farmers. I'm just saying, if you want to Google about it, please Google about it. But the stuff we're talking about, everything has a connection. Now, when I'm talking about the Black farmers, that's a whole nother thing. Google about that thing too, because they're trying to take Black farmers' lands. They're trying to make it hard for Black farmers to get passes and all these different things. The same thing we see systematically happen everywhere else.
Right.
Like I said, Google it, please. But all of these things that Snooker talking about, whenever it might be like, oh yeah, who cares? Yeah, when you walk into the grocery store and y'all start to see, yes, there is inflation happening, but also there is a produce thing going on, just in case it's y'all ridiculous. Aren't paying attention. There's stuff going on with farmers, produce, and all of that. So,
and to Cole's point, that I don't understand how people don't believe, you know, because you have things on the news saying, oh, well, this is the hottest day on record ever. I literally had a friend of mine. I was like, no, you know, like I shouldn't travel during this time to the West Coast. It's just like record heat. And oh, they say that every year. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, like the word.
So if people don't pay.
Yes. Every year. Yes,
it's
literally is literally. And it reminds me of these shows. So I don't know what's the name of the show that we were watching recently, but it talks about like climate change and everything. And in this show, literally like people can't go outside because the temperature of the earth and the
Silo.
Sun is,
you're talking about, yes, Silo.
Yes. It's, yes, like, oh my God, that's almost was, it's scary to see those kinds of things, because it's like, you know, little by little, we see these kinds of things happening, because even in Florida, in the Florida Keys, like the sea surface temperature are like above 90 degrees. That's almost like a jacuzzi temperature. It's like a jacuzzi temperature is like 100 degrees.
Bubbly, bubbly, rubbing. Yeah. It's getting, and I like, know we joke about it, but it's like Roy said, now they're saying that every day about record heat, and it's like, it's true. Yeah. Like if you guys aren't noticing, that's why we're bringing it up, because we want to bring, we say trending topics, we're not saying it's cute trending, it's more, yeah, so like headlines
this
that we
hope,
yeah, we hope you're paying attention,
you
to
pay attention.
Yes, if, yes, and so
wake up. Oh, sorry. I don't know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I heard a little something. Okay. I like it.
I heard Sister Act 2 in my head.
Finally, she's singing. It's about time.
Yes. If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere,
you better wake up
and pay attention. Hold on. I got a little choir going on.
Okay. I like that. We're working on Serena singing more. I don't know.
Yes,
I think
please.
I heard a little something.
I'm trying to be quiet.
Yes. I like that. Because y'all know we got to cover a little bit of sports when you're dealing with us, because this is Montgomery & Co. and we are ingrained in it. So when we think about sports, man, listen, it's like things that excite me. Comeback stories. And Shikari Richardson is one of my favorite comeback stories, especially because everybody has to know now that she basically got in trouble because she was in a situation where she was grieving. I'm gonna just put it that way. The woman was grieving, and people don't realize that athletes, just like entertainers, the show must go on. We still must perform. And a lot of times people don't get to see the part about, oh man, we're making bad decisions because maybe our head isn't in it. Or, oh man, we're making, not even saying she made a bad decision, but people don't realize that while you're grieving, you may not be on your tip top game. And so she went through a period where she had to grieve in front of the whole world on one of the biggest stages. And we watched how it all unfolded. And I just didn't love how it unfolded. So that's the backstory. Let's fast forward to right now, baby. Okay. The 2023 World Athletics Championships happened in Budapest, Hungary recently. And my baby came back, huh? And not did she just come back, but she won the gold in the 100 meter. And then with the squad, she won gold in the 4x100 meter relay. And then she went ahead and she won the bronze in the 200 meter. When asked afterwards about this beautiful, beautiful comeback story and where her head's at and how she feels, she said, listen, I'm not worried about the world anymore. I've seen the world be my friend. I've seen the world turn on me. At the end of the day, I've always been me. God has always been with me. And I'm like, you better, because then Nike dropped her new ad that said, I'm not back, honey. I'm better. So I love a good comeback story for athletes because I talk about it all the time where people really forget as you're betting money on your fantasy squad or as you're in it, in the thick of it, or as you're making bets or as you're doing these things, people really be forgetting that, like, these athletes are humans, and we watch this human have a tough situation, but she's back, baby. Thoughts?
She was rolling. Oh, man. I think I watched that clip about 50,000 times. I just couldn't believe how fast she was moving. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. It's amazing to watch because it doesn't look like she has that effort.
Crazy.
Her head barely even moved, but her body was going so fast. But I was always in her corner, and always said she'll be back and she gonna show everybody that she did that. She did
things
it.
That she did that, honey. What Snook thoughts? Did you see it?
Well, you know I did, but anyway, I'm just happy that she was able to get all of that disruption and all those distractions out of her head. And that's what it takes. Like you said, she went through some stuff during her last competition episode, and all that was distractions, although, you know, it was very close. And we, you know, when family things happen, you can't really just throw them out of your mind like other things.
Yes.
But that was a distraction, and that's what threw her off her game. And so I'm just happy she was able to get rid of all of those distractions, get rid of all of that bad news she got, all the bad press, and overcome that and perform to her highest level. I'm really proud of her. Really.
Very much so.
It takes a lot to do that. I mean,
it really
absolutely does.
It, you know, besides winning the race, it's all that other stuff you have to, it's hard.
It's,
you know,
social media.
She has the
people
talent.
Got a lot of mouth. People got a lot of mouth. That's what it is.
I knew it. Just like Cole said, like, I was just waiting for her to come back. I it was just a matter of when. Like, we all knew that it wasn't going to end where it ended last time. You know, that was I'll see you later, you know, and, you know, to Snook's point, you know, like, is the her mind had to get right, because the talent is there, you know, like, that raw talent is there. But then when you have the combination of when your mind is right and your talent is the way that it is for Sha'Carri, I'm so excited for her future, because it just shows her maturity level. And for her to come back at, like, the way that she did, I'm so excited to just see what she does in the future.
Nah, I agree, because I really just, like, even the internet. All right, I'm on Twitter. Y'all know I'm out in them Twitter streets, and I see a lot of tweets. I see probably a larger amount of tweets than the average person, just because I honestly feel like part of my job is being in the know of what's going on in the not only sports news, but just in the news, because if I go and Joyanne Reed might reach out to me on a random day, and if I don't know what's going on, it would be hard to always try to catch myself up on everything that's going on. So I like to just stay in tune with everything along the lines. And by the way, honestly, what's going on in the world is the craziest reality show out there. I know Real Housewives of Atlanta has been turning up with the storylines, Kenya, Candy. I know all of that's going on right now. But honestly, if you just turn on MSNBC, it really is a reality show that you probably can't even believe half the time. And so when we're talking about sports anyway, back to and recovering from it, I just love to see it, because people don't know about that everyday grind. It's like, for us, the world got onto Sha'Carri Richardson, and then a lot of people in the world completely forgot about her. But she was still on her everyday journey of her grind in the gym, at the track. While we were on about our everyday lives, she's still living in what we left her at. And where we left her was not a good place. And when I say we, I just mean as a whole, the media. And I didn't say anything bad. Nobody on this group said anything bad. But I'm just saying how she probably felt after that incident probably was terrible. And so when people talk about their villain inception story or locker room material, we left her a lot of locker room material because of what we said. And when I say we, again, I ain't taking no blame for that, because we all we got. But I'm talking about the media, how the media attacked her. Every day she sat in that. And every day she went to the gym, every day she went to the track, every day she worked out. And then what were the results? How do you handle conflict? How did she handle conflict? Oh, I mean, my baby just came back at the 100 meter gold, came back 4x1. And this is against head to head top talent, like the Jamaican team and their sprinters. This is the best of the best of the best. So she didn't just win on, you know, a random track event. She went out there on the biggest stage and had the biggest performance. And so I'm just excited for her, because when you tear somebody down, you never know how people are going to respond. And Sha'Carri Richardson showed that she's going to respond the right way. So moving on to the next topic, we back in the A, baby. And y'all know we had to talk about this because Ronald Acuña Jr., he plays for the Atlanta Braves. Come on, shouts to the A. Boy, we talk about fans a lot, y'all. We talk about fan decorum and fan rules. And I'm going to give this fan a little bit of grace, because you was wilding. Don't be coming on the field and don't be coming on anywhere while we're trying to play. Because, you know, as an athlete, this is my thoughts. Let me just, as an athlete, anything that happens in the game, y'all got to remember that, like, when I'm an athlete, this is literally how I am in the game, right? Like, I've had my son sitting courtside. I've had family sitting courtside. I don't hear anything they say to me. You
can't hear nothing.
He will be like, you didn't hear me. I was saying something to you. I'm like, boop, I don't hear nothing. This is how I am during the game. So you mean to tell me that I'm locked in? I'm like, oh, yes, this play, my progressions. Ooh, great pass, great shot. Oh, I see what the defense is doing. And then all of a sudden somebody comes and hugs me, like, as I'm in this locked in mode. So only reason I say that is because the fan gave him a hug. I'm going to give you some grace, because the fan, you know, he must have just wanted to get up close and personal with Ronald Acuña Jr., gave him a hug. And then another fan came on the field as well. But I'd be thinking, like, I wonder, like,
right in the middle of the game. Athlete.
Yeah, because I've never had that happen to me. I've had fans wave at me when I'm shooting a shot and try to get my attention. But if they actually came and hugged me, they would have my full attention. And then what would my snapback be like out of that? Because I would probably be like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, he literally is on the court hugging me. Like, what? So that's what happened to Ronald Acuña Jr. One fan came on and hugged him, and then another fan came on. My question to the crew is, now we've all seen the video, right? Security.
Fired. Fired. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I think it was like 5 or 6, 7. Y'all all fired. If he beat y'all out there, that's the first firing part. He made it all the way out there and hugged this man before y'all could even get there. Number one. Number two, then the dude looked like he just grabbed him at his legs. I don't even know what he was trying to do. And number three, I have a more sinister thought about why they were out there. They were trying to get paid.
What you mean?
They hugged that man because they had a bet. Oh, they had a bet that they was going to get out there, and who was going to take the bets, and they could bet they could get to him. Had no intentions. I don't think their intentions were ever to hurt him, but no. Just to say, I actually touched him, so you owe me $100,000. Everybody going to pay me. So
that's,
I think that was
crazy,
literally,
if there was like a prop bet going on amongst the group.
I do believe it was. And that's why I said the security fired. Every person on there looks like, I have nieces and nephews that could have outran everybody that was out there. They should never. Why would you have those people at the gates to hold people back? They can't run. I don't understand it. There's no way. That man hugged him for like a good 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. Because
before
I'm happy,
the security even got there.
We're laughing because the fan didn't have ill intent. But right, that is kind of crazy, though. The fan got actually to the star of our team on the Atlanta Braves. He's like our star. And you know what? That actually makes me think about Messi. Because imagine somebody going and hugging LeBron. Or imagine somebody going and hugging Messi. So, for instance, PG, y'all know the producer of this show, Paul Garino, my guy, he put out a tweet that he was talking about Messi's bodyguard. So Messi, if you guys don't know, plays for Inter Miami, completely hit the scene and exploded, took over Miami, not only Miami, but just the whole league. Honestly, Apple did a deal with him, all of the things. It's crazy. But this type of star deserves security. I was shocked, though, to learn the level of the security guard. So his name is Yassine Chuko, and he's Messi's bodyguard. And he's a former U.S. Navy SEAL who is also a martial artist, boxer, and Taekwondo expert. He leads a 50-person team dedicated to protecting Messi and his family in the U.S. That tweet is from PCG7, my guy, Paul Garino. But yeah, like, I don't know what's going on, security, but my man's got a bear hug on Ronald Acuña Jr.
That's crazy. When you see stuff like that, and, you know, I always look, I'm very nosy, and my girls, everybody can tell you that.
Facts.
I'm always checking stuff out, especially security guards. That's one of my pet peeves. And, you know, I'll go somewhere and I wonder, why did they hire that guy? Because if something were to happen, I know I'm not going to be able to depend on him. I'll have to be looking for a folding chair somewhere. But anyway, some of these security guards that they hire, I could probably give them a good go at it. You know, and I don't want to talk about anybody's age or any, you know, shortcomings they might have, but they really do need to do better, because some of these security guards, they can hardly keep their gun belts up on them. They're so thin. I mean, it's really pitiful. It really is.
And Snook is talking about they're so thin, but I mean, I do think that there is a concept, though, if you are going to be a security guard, you have to be able to protect people. And I just do think that in a situation like that, I didn't know if I had confidence that those security guards could protect Ronald Acuña Jr., because they let the actual person give him a real long full hug.
And then a second person came along.
And then a second person
said, oh, well, I can go too. Ain't nobody stopping the first guy.
It's like, it was a free for all at that point. It became so, it's like, I mean, so much to the point that Roy made, it caused him to fall. Like the second person that came after he got out of the bear hug,
dead bug.
Legs in the air. I mean, really? So it's just, my thoughts are, yes, security, you might need to be able to protect. You know, when they say police officers are there to protect and serve, security guards, I don't want y'all to be mall cop security, top flight security of the world, Craig. But I do think that you need to be ready in case. And I just don't know if y'all was ready. And also, before we go, I want to just mention, because when we're talking about security, it just made my mind think about how security needs to be raised in schools, unfortunately, which sounds crazy. And I was talking to Snook, and Snook posed the question about how we haven't seen as many mass shootings. And she said this almost like a month ago. And then fast forward to now, where within a 7-day period, we've had 2 mass shootings, one of them being in Jacksonville. And we know that it involved Edward Waters, which was an HBCU. We don't know if that was the intended target, but we do know that at UNC Chapel Hill, there was a school shooting. And I saw some tweets going around that said back to school, which equals back to school shootings. And you start to look at school shootings and how they play a high role in mass shootings. And I can't help to just think about when we talk about change and how so much is going on, we're talking about a Florida where there's a lot of change happening. And Roy, he wrote something in the chat that made me think as well, where in Jacksonville, the shooter, he had a swastika drawn on his AR-15. And we know that the rules for gun law, we're constantly talking about them. And Ron DeSantis is leading the charge in Florida, who also showed up at the vigil, which didn't sit well with people. But when we just think about like the change and all the craziness going on, I really am sad to think about one of the big changes we need to make is security in schools. We're tee-heeing about the security when it comes to Ronald Acuña Jr. and different athletes, but man, we got to protect our kids. Like, this is crazy that we got to think about security when it comes to schools. And so there's a lot of things happening. These are the headlines going on, and that's why we wanted to talk about all of them, because in case you didn't know, we want you to know. So all of this playoff push and stressful talk made me think about like handling stressful situations. And in sports right now, the only thing that we as athletes can do, when I was an athlete and I was in this playoff push, the only thing that I could do was control my controllables. And so what I would do was I started to work in overdrive. I got probably double the amount more shots up than I did after practice. I might've stayed in the cold tub a little bit longer. I watched a little bit more film. So my advice to everyone is whenever you're in a little bit of a stressful situation, work, family life, dive into something productive, whatever that may be. And the productive thing may have nothing to do with what that thing is that you're stressed about, but it'll just get you active, keep you moving, because you got to keep moving forward. As you know, it's always a generational thing here with Mocha. See y'all next week.